I'd like now to welcome Pam Pierce. She is CEO of Silver Bullet Productions and producer of the film Canes of Power. The Rocky Mountain chapter of the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences awarded Silver Bullet Productions 4 Emmy Awards in the category of cultural documentary for Canes of Power. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So let's talk for a moment about Silver Bullet Productions. What's it all about?
We're a nonprofit, and our focus is education. You would think from the award for Canes of Power that I'd be saying it's about film, but really it has to be about education. And everything we do, including all of our documentaries and films, have to focus on education. And the real premise is hands-on for students in different communities, rural and native communities. And the key is to make education's enhanced when learning is relevant.
Now, film is always the medium that you're using.
Film is the medium we're using. But we do workshops, and the point is to make education and learning relevant. And the only way to create relevancy is to make those skills for students immediately usable, long-term usable, to engage the community, the culture, the language. And film seems to be the best vehicle for creating relevancy. So that's why film is such a prevalent media for us.
Are you based in specifically in New Mexico or the Southwest?
We are based in Santa Fe, and the films are relevant to the culture of New Mexico.
And so the film Canes of Power, tell us about it and how you came to make it.
Well, documentaries are just one of the two prongs that we use to create relevancy. So we either do workshops, which include students in creating, writing a screenplay, developing their own ideas about something relevant to them, or we create materials that are relevant because we realize that there's a dearth of materials for teachers to use. So that's how Canes of Power became something that we wanted to do. It's a story about Lincoln's canes and the gift to the 19 Pueblos back in 1863, 1864. And
literal canes.
Literal canes.
Sticks with stuff on the end.
These are beautiful canes, and the Pueblos still have their canes, and they would have been used on the 6th, January the 6th, for King's Day, to swear in the next governor. So if anybody went to the dances at the different Pueblos, they would have seen the governors holding these canes. And they are beautiful canes. There's some dispute over the original wood. Some say maple, some say cherry, but a silver top, hand-engraved, with A. Lincoln written in script, and the name of each Pueblo, and the date, 1863.
So the film starts with the canes and then goes on to be really a whole questioning of, among other things, Abraham Lincoln's relationship to Indian people and to Pueblo people.
Well, you know, it started with us just being curious as to the why, knowing that there had to be a paradox there with Lincoln suppressing sovereignty for 11 states in the South and then granting sovereignty or acknowledging the existing sovereignty for 19 Pueblos. That just seemed like a disconnect, and that's where the story started, is how did that happen and the why. And then it became a much deeper story as we got into the complexity of this particular leader's Indian policy. And his Indian policy for all of the other hundreds of tribes was such the difference between the way he treated the Pueblos that the question was why. Why would he do that?
Right. And there's all sorts of things and you've got historians and various commentators on that period of history. And, for example, something that I didn't know was Abraham Lincoln's father had been killed by an Indian.
Mm-hmm. And that the conflicts continue over his humanity versus the facts, and that's just one of many of those examples. His grandfather, who was also named Abraham, was killed by an Indian, and this is something that his father, Thomas, never let young Abraham forget. And so he was brought up with a bias, a hatred for Indians, and yet young Abraham fought in the Black Hawk War in Illinois, and this was a time of great hatred toward Indians, and Abraham was a leader in his brigade, and the story goes that an elderly Native American wandered into camp And this was a camp that was eager to kill an Indian. Let's just get an Indian, any Indian. And Abraham stood up and put his life before the elderly Indian and basically said, if you touch him, you will have to deal with me. And since he was the biggest and the strongest of the group, people paid attention to him. And that just shows his humanity. And that was in conflict with the times and in conflict with the way he was brought up.
The film also really is an exploration of the meaning of sovereignty and specifically of Indian sovereignty within the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really important issue, and you would have thought that it had been resolved by now, but it continues to be an issue of sovereignty between a Native American, their own sovereignty, they are sovereign nations, and the state and the federal government, ongoing. You probably noticed, I think around Christmas, or right after Christmas, Pueblo of Pewaukee has a lawsuit going against the state, and the issue is sovereignty. So it's an ongoing issue. And it is their right. It was acknowledged by this president, but it certainly existed through all time. It was acknowledged by Spain, acknowledged by Mexico, as one nation to another nation.
And it's more complicated here because, I mean, Native people on Pueblo can vote in the U.S. elections, and we don't need passports to go there, nor they to come out. And so it's not really national boundaries in the same way it is for virtually every other nation on the earth.
You know, there are those reasons why people don't understand that they are sovereign nations and they are their own country with their own constitutions in some ways, their own laws in other ways, their own rituals, their own governors, etc. And because of exactly what you just said, there's no standing army there. There's no line of demarcation, so to speak, and there is a peaceful interaction that we may minimize the power of their sovereignty in many ways.
So the film is called Canes of Power, and at the end, when you look at the credits, 5 bazillion people worked on it, and all these different pueblos and groups and individuals and so on. Talk about the making of the film.
Oh, it was humbling. It was humbling, and in many ways it almost didn't get made, but it certainly is not a silver bullet deal. We are the catalyst for telling this incredible story that links 2 histories and links, you know, time immemorial with our American history. But in pulling it together, it was obvious that if we did not have Pueblo advisors and we did not have governors working on this film, there would be no story to tell. And the idea came from Zia Pueblo. In fact, when we were completing a project with them on the Zia Sun Symbol, but it came together over time and over a lot of collaboration, and I'm really proud of that collaboration and proud of the confidence and the trust that the Pueblos had in us to tell the story. In many ways, they didn't know either. It's a statement on their desire for education, that they wanted to know, too, what Lincoln's motives were. They were very aware of course, what the cane represented and what it represents to them today. But to go back into history and figure out why. Why did Lincoln do this at that moment in time? It was that same period of time where the Navajo and the Apache were marched off to Fort Sumner, where not long before that, the Sioux were hung or imprisoned, where the Gettysburg Address was given, speaking about equality. So all of these things show the great paradox of this very human man, guided by cabinet members who hated Native Americans. And so to be able to bring in historians, like our own New Mexico historian, wonderful person, and our own author, Hampton Sides, and then the various governors of 8 to 10 tribes was crucial to telling the story.
We're talking to Pam Pierce of Silver Bullet Productions. There's another aspect to the whole educational, which is filmmaking itself, the craft and technique and just the work of making a film and being on location and running cameras and all of that. Where did you get your crews and how did you work with them? What was that educational process like?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. So it gives me a chance to brag about David Aubrey and Lightning Lit Pictures. David has worked with us on 31 of our film projects. That means that he works with us with students and one-on-one in communities, as well as on the broader documentaries that we do, because it's the same purpose. It's to educate. And so we work with him and James Becker, and David was one of the recipients of the Emmy. We work with Mara Dustudy and Wes Studi a lot when it comes to working with students. But you have to remember that this is an outgrowth of our mission of education, so that it feels great to talk about the documentary, but the documentary only comes because it feeds education, it feeds enlightenment, it stops stereotypes, and it engages kids in making the film. So students were involved in talking about sovereignty. We did workshops talking about that. We do workshops on putting cameras in their hands, and we leave cameras behind for all the communities we work with. So not only do they participate in the documentary, but they also participate in a teaching workshop beforehand. And that may be about dropout prevention. It could be about suicide prevention. In this case, it was about sovereignty and protection of sovereignty. In our next one, it'll be about women, tribal women. So the two are very much connected, the educational pieces.
And you've got a discussion guide on the DVD, so that if people actually have the DVD or teachers have it, then they can use that. I mean, I imagine it's screened in schools quite a bit.
I hope so. I think that most of the public schools have it. I know that all of the tribal schools have a copy. The museums have a copy. But as an ex-teacher, it's really important to me that our materials are teacher-friendly and user-friendly. We don't want to add to the work of a teacher in a classroom. Our goal is to give them relevant materials to use, and that doesn't help if we create more work for them. So the teaching guide is actually created with students in a college setting. In this case, it was with Dr. Matthew Martinez's class, Okeowinge, at Northern, and his class on Indigenous Studies helped write the study guide.
So tell us about the next film. You're making a film about tribal women.
Oh, I love talking about that. We are working on a project that will be completed in June. It'll follow the same kind of project. It'll have a study guide with it. It'll include students in a workshop at some point between now and June. It'll probably be screened for SWIA and probably also at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. And this is about the power of women, the power of tribal women. I wish we could do all tribal women, but we're focusing on New Mexico. So it will cover all of the tribes of New Mexico.
What are some of the things that you're learning, or some of the things that have come out in the process?
Well, I guess the biggest thing that was reinforced is that I think you and I and Anglo women think about empowerment for women as being a relatively new thing, like from the 60s on. And what's amazing to me, and will be to you when you watch this film, is that this power, you know, goes back to long before the 1500s with the white invasion, and that the women were always in power, that this was a power that they were always the decision makers, were always the ones in leadership roles. This is not new. It did not have to be refound. This is always there. This story talks about our modern tribal women and how they are grounded by their traditional values and how that serves to preserve their culture, the keepers of the culture, as well as to propel them into the 21st century. So it's an amazing balancing act that I forget how much is required of that. And we have about 15 different women from different tribes in all roles talking about that, as well as men, because it doesn't do any good just to have women talk about that. It's important for tribal men to remind us of the importance of respect for women and the power of women. So, for instance, Governor Luarki and his family from Pueblo of Laguna are on this film.
Now, you say you've worked on 31, Silver Bullet has produced 31 different films?
Different one-film projects. So these could be anything from small films that students create on suicide prevention to anti-bullying to the importance of adults in a child's life, the importance of teachers, all kinds of different topics. We have one that really is my favorite film we've ever done called Ancient Pathways, Modern Leaders. that talks about the governing style of Pueblos. And that was really changed my look at our leaders, our political leaders.
Very interesting. Now, Silver Bullet Productions' latest film that has been finished is Canes of Power, and I guess January is a month where those films will be screened at various places. They're screened in museums, and if people want to see the film, they can look for screenings on your website. Is that right?
I think that's probably a good idea. They can call me. Because the January is the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's gift of these canes, which he gave at the location of Santo Domingo Pueblo, I'm anticipating a lot of different showings, in particular on Pueblos. For instance, Acoma has a beautiful cultural center. They will be showing it on and off in the month of January.
And also PBS is showing it from time to time.
They have 5 years' rights to show it, and I imagine they probably will be showing it in January. But I don't know the date yet. It will be on our website when we have that date. And I love for people to see it. And I love for people to call me and say, hey, you know, I didn't know that before. What about this? Or what? Some people ask me, what didn't you put in the film? Because I think we have probably about 40 hours of footage to fit into 57 minutes.
Right, exactly. Well, the website is silverbulletproductions.com if people want to go there. And Pam Pierce is the CEO of Silver Bullet Productions and producer of the film Canes of Power. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.